live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Thursday night as the Flames go into St. Louis against the Blues. An opportunity for the Flames to bury St. Louis when it comes to this playoff race, and an opportunity for the Blues to climb right back into it. And unfortunately for the Flames, it's the latter that happens. Blues win 2-1 on Tuesday, and then tonight at Enterprise Center, 4-1. They sweep it in regulation, get four of a possible 4 points, and that gap in the Western Conference playoff race now down to just the 1 point. Welcome to our Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line at 960-960. Color voice of the Flames, Megan Mickelson, with us as well. And Mick, that start where it was as dreadful a first period as we've seen all year. They fall down 3-0, way too big of a hole. They were great in the second, but only scored the one goal and didn't even come out any further ahead after the goal that scored on the power play for St. Louis. And third period was kind of elementary when it's all said and done. That's a tough one to swallow for the Flames.
Yeah, and to me, it was the way that they came out in that first period, like you mentioned. And, I mean, the high danger chances in the first period alone at Natural Stat Trick, 8-1 for the St. Louis Blues. And then, I mean, you go into the second, and it's 4-2 for the Blues. The third, it's 2-2, a tie. So, you know, to me, that first period just makes an absolute massive difference in this hockey game, and the score tells the same story. So just, you know, the Flames got outworked all over the ice, and, you know, that was kind of the story at the end of the day. Their special teams, weren't good enough. That was one of the keys to victory I had, you know, was making sure that when you play against a team that is as good as the Blues are right now, 5-on-5, your special teams have to come through, and their power play just couldn't handle the pressure of the St. Louis Blues when they did get the opportunity. And yeah, I mean, Joel Hanley, I thought he owned it, and he said it really well, that it was unacceptable and disappointing. And, you know, as a player and as a team, you walk away from that one and you're kind of like, okay, they know it's not good enough.
Yep.
And they know that they have to come out and be better on Saturday night. So, you know, I also thought that wasn't Dustin Wolf's strongest game, its strongest start, probably a couple that he would want back in the first period. So it's going to be really interesting to see. You know, I thought maybe Dustin Wolf was going to get back-to-back starts here in St. Louis and then on Saturday in Winnipeg, but it's going to be interesting to see.
Yep.
Because I said to Wilsey on the broadcast, like, if you compare Dan Vladar on Tuesday to Dustin Wolf tonight, I actually think Dan Vladar had a stronger game on Tuesday. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
And that was our marquee matchup, Mick, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota on the pregame show. Tonight was 10 of 14 for Wolf when it comes to starts. And, you know, I'm curious, do they let him try to shake this one off? They've kind of rolled him as a starter for the last month and a bit here. Do they let him shake this one off against the Jets with a four-day break afterwards, or do they go to Vladar? And I honestly, Mick, I don't have a good sense as to which way they're going to go.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. I mean, I know it's not really a good game to compare to, but I think of the preseason game that Wolf played against the Winnipeg Jets, and he got lit up. So my brain goes back to that and the shooters that the Winnipeg Jets have. I know, obviously, Dustin Wolf can handle those shots and that he is, you know, worked a lot on his game. I think he's gotten stronger as the season has gone along. But, you know, I kind of go back to that one and some of the other games he's had against the Jets. But yeah, it's a small sample size in these two games, so it really depends on how the coaching staff looks at it, what their plan is for next week as well. But it's tough for Dan Vladar. I mean, he hadn't played a game since January the 2nd. He comes in and plays the one on Tuesday, and then he'd have to, if he doesn't start Saturday, then he goes another stretch without, you know, playing a game. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do.
That was our marquee matchup tonight, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Boxing Week blowout is on at the giant Country Hills Toyota. For a limited time, save $3,000 to $5,000 on every Tundra. It's time to Toyota. Mick, let's select a hardest working flame in this one tonight. Which way are you leaning on that one? A tougher one to pick this evening.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go with Rory Cairns.
Yeah, I
thought that he had a really strong game, and I feel like whenever that line was out on the ice, they were the Flames' best line in this game. They were the most impactful. The Flames would not have scored that goal if it weren't for just a really simple play in the neutral zone by Rory Cairns to kind of chip it in behind the Blues defenseman so Jacob Pelche could go retrieve that puck. But I just continue to be really impressed by his poise with the puck, his decision making, and he just seems to make things happen every single time that he's on the ice. So, you know, I thought that he was really good. 4 shot attempts. He had a hit as well, took a couple of draws, but, you know, another really strong game for him.
Rory Cairns, your hardest working flame on this Thursday night, a 4-1 loss to the Blues. Last thought, kind of expanding on that, Mick. Sharon Govich scores the only goal off of that, starting in the neutral zone with Cairns. He and Pelche do some really good work down low. Pelche beats Suter twice and then one-hands it out to Sharon Govich. And that's a confident shot from Yegor. 2 goals in 3 games from number 17. That's a positive sign coming out of this one, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's shooting the puck more. He seems like he's around it a lot more now that he's up the middle of the ice. But I think that Cairns and Pelche and the chemistry that those two have elevated Sharon Govich's game as well. But one interesting thing, like Cale mentioned the other day, that when they're watching video clips, they're seeing Sharon Govich like in and around the net a lot more. So he's much more engaged and involved in the play. And I think he's trusting his shot again. And we saw it on the goal that he scored tonight. So that is one positive that's come out of this road trip, is Sharon Govich with a couple of goals, maybe starting to get his goal scoring going again.
Be safe on your way to Winnipeg, Mick. Appreciate it as always. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson wrapping up from St. Louis tonight, where the Flames fall by a 4-1 score to the St. Louis Blues this evening. They go into St. Louis, play twice there at Enterprise Center, and come away with 0 points. It's tough to swallow. And the second half of the second part of this little set, you thought maybe some adjustments. Didn't really see those adjustments this evening. Let's get some immediate post-game reaction. It's time to go from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Here's head coach Ryan Huska. He just wrapped up in St. Louis following a 4-1 loss to the Blues.
What's your assessment of the game tonight?
I felt there was one team that had the urgency to start the game and one team didn't, and unfortunately we were the team that didn't tonight.
Were you surprised at that first period, because there was a lot of talk about being ready for these guys tonight?
Yeah, I was, you know, but you could tell early on that they were the hungrier team, and I look at our puck battles and how we're in there. Are they first in to help support? We didn't do a lot of great things in the first period.
Was the second period a bright spot? I mean, the team came back, pressed hard, got the one goal, created a lot of opportunities, just couldn't get some extra goals there.
Yeah, it's more like we expect to play, where I thought we did a better job of skating. I thought we were more competitive and we had some pushback. There was some more intensity to the game than what we brought in the first period. And then unfortunately that goal at the end of the period, I thought it took a little bit of the life out of us there.
Both Weaver and Macklin said it's on the leadership team to get this team prepared. Do you see it that way as well?
I think it's on everybody. And it really, when you look at our team this year, there's not a lot of first periods that you can say we haven't been very good. It does happen. My issue with tonight was these are games where you want to be at your very best. I didn't think we were early enough. So there was a few guys that I thought were. And when you talk about leadership, Michael's line was ready to play tonight. We didn't have a lot of people following in that area, though.
What did you think of your goaltender's game?
I thought he battled. I mean, there's some goals I think he'd probably like to have back, and it's going to happen for a young guy. But I think the one thing that we would look for is how he responds, and I thought he did a pretty good job the rest of the way, making some saves and staying competitive for us.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, thank you, guys.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska. his thoughts following a 4-1 loss in St. Louis, and understandably not very happy at all, and didn't like the way the team started. Felt like one team was ready to start and the other wasn't, and that was very, very evident. And now Captain Michael Backlund, his thoughts after this rough loss in St. Louis as well.
Maybe just your assessment of tonight and then the first period, I guess, got you guys off to a tough start and then was battling back from there.
Bad first period, and we responded well, but it was a little too late, and then PK let us down again, and because we were coming in the second, and then we can't let that goal in at the end of the second.
Seems like you had a bunch of chances in the second, you just couldn't seem to get a goal until Chernogovic scored, but there were plenty of opportunities, just unable to get one fast.
They did a good job these two games. We created some looks, but they made it hard on us to score goals, and the goalies played well. But at the end of the day, these two games wasn't good enough from our team.
Did they do anything differently in the first period as opposed to last game that maybe you guys weren't ready for or weren't expecting?
No, I think they were just hungrier than us, and they came out and were more desperate and wanted to win. And we were flat and not ready to go. I think it was just mental preparation that they were ready, and fortunately we weren't.
So when it comes to trying to find your game in time for Winnipeg, where do you start?
I mean, can't get much worse than the first, so should have a better first period in Winnipeg, and then we'll go from there.
There you go, Captain Michael Backlund, also not happy at all with the way things went tonight. Not very many people would be if you're involved or invested in the Flames. That was a poor first period, and it kind of set the tone for the entire night, right? I mean, great second period, but most of the time when you spot an NHL team a 3-0 lead and get absolutely your brains pounded in the first period, you're not going to come back. And, you know, the Flames had that comeback magic through October and November, and that was one of the stories early on. But we're into the crunch time now. This is the third quarter of the season. Things are tightening up. And, yes, St. Louis was on their heels for a good chunk of that second period, but still defended intelligently. With all of Calgary's zone time, they still got outchanced at high danger in the second period. The shot attempts at 5-on-5 in the second period were 27-11 Calgary for 71.1% possession, and yet high dangers were 4-2 St. Louis. So despite the Blues having under 30% 5-on-5 offensive zone possession, they still were more dangerous than Calgary. And so I guess my point is the Blues defended intelligently, only allowed the two high dangers when they were on their heels virtually the entire period. And that's the NHL, especially as you're getting into crunch time and you can't come out as flat and listless as the Flames were. They were awful in the first. They got punched in the mouth and they lost the game because of it. You just heard from Ryan Huska and Michael Backlund. That's Inside the Flames Dressing Room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. What's going on? My name is Pat Steinberg. We're underway on your Flames Talk post-game show this evening. The phone lines are open. Got a couple lines open if you want to chat at 403-240-4444. And keep your text coming. Lots of text to get to this evening as well. Text line 960-960. So your phone calls, your texts around the corner. We got more looks inside the Flames locker room and a whole lot more to break down. Flames get 0 of 4 possible points against St. Louis, and instead of burying the Blues, or at the very least keeping them the same 5 points behind them as they were, the 4-point swing happens against the Flames. The Blues trim a 5-point deficit on the final playoff spot in the West to a 1-point deficit. 2-1 on Tuesday, 4-1 tonight. The Flames wrap up this 4-game road trip Saturday on the road in Winnipeg. Flames Talk postgames available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and of course live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, a good effort, but not enough offense on Tuesday night in a 2-1 loss to the Blues to start off this 2-game set. But tonight, it's tough to like the effort too much because of how bad that first period was. Like, at least on Tuesday, they fought and they played consistent. They were within their structure. Defensively, they were, I thought, pretty fine. 5-on-5, decent. You know, just didn't have a lot in the tank and just didn't have a whole lot in terms of offense. They struggled mightily to generate offense. Well, tonight, same thing, except that they also were not within their structure and they weren't dialed in 5-on-5, at least when it came to their details outside of generating offense. They weren't like that for 60 minutes. I thought they were on Tuesday. And while I still thought St. Louis was fully deserving of that win, at the very least you could come away and say, okay, there were some things done by the Flames. See if you can build on those going into Thursday in the second part of this game. But then to come out and have that first period, I don't know how you wrap your head around that if you're the coaching staff, because you knew there were adjustments to make. And when you know there's adjustments to make and you know that you've got an opportunity to get back at the team that beat you the night before, two nights before, you know, usually you don't see things go as awry as they did, but the Flames were not in their details. The Flames were not dialed in 5-on-5. And when it's all said and done, 14-5 are the five-on-five high-danger chances for the Blues. Now, 8-1 in the first period, but 4-2 in the second, 2-2 in the third. Flames didn't get more than two slot opportunities in a period at 5-on-5, and the only time they were able to generate more in this game was when they had their second period power play, which, you know, looked pretty dangerous at times. You know, just one of those nights where the reason why the Flames lost is because they were no good in the first period. They got overwhelmed by St. Louis, and despite the fact that they pushed back and had a much better second period, as I said earlier, you spot an NHL team in the third quarter of the season, and especially an NHL team fighting for their playoff lives with Stanley Cup winners and with good veterans like the Blues still have. Yeah, you're not going to come back very often, as good as the second period was for Calgary. And then one more thing before we get to the save of the game. The penalty kill, you just can't allow that. As you heard Michael Backlund say, the penalty kill let him down. And that's been a constant through 44 games this year. But at least there had been signs that maybe the penalty kill was starting to turn a very slight corner. And some of the goals that even had gone in on them on nights when they had allowed one was more of the bad fortune or bad luck. But that was not what this was tonight. Tonight, that was just an easy entry, bad gaps, and an easy neighbor's pass to Shen to deflect the dagger to make it 4-1. And that basically was all she wrote in this one. And now save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And Dustin Wolf got the start, his fifth start in six games and 10th start in 14. And Dustin's save of the game comes in period number two.
And now Neighbors loses the puck at the Flames' blue line. Pospisil finds it and slides it up the left wing side to Kadri, who's checked by Parayko. Flames have to be careful they don't get caught with too many men. And here come the Blues in. Thomas centers, Neighbors to the backhand. Stopped by Wolf.
That ends up being, when it's all said and done, one of the 25 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. And was this Dustin's best game? No. And really, there were probably two he'd like to have back for sure in the first period. The Parayko 2-0 goal, which ends up being the game winner. That one beat him clean. It was a rolling puck, and Parayko can shoot it, but that beat him clean, and you don't usually beat Wolf clean, and it's not even like it was a high shot. You know, one of the things that continues to come up when you talk about Wolf is the ability to beat him high because of the size, so on and so forth. That was along the ice. That went right through him, and you don't usually see that from Wolf. And the Kyrou goal, again, that was and on all three goals in the first period, you can't blame it solely on a goaltender because defensive breakdowns and poor sequences that led to it before that. But the Kyrou goal, again, little bit of a clean beat on Wolf, and not the same way. Like the one that Parayko shot went right through him. The Kyrou one I didn't love either, But he battled and then made some big stops in the second when the Flames had all the momentum. But the Blues still generated the opportunities. Heck, even the stop he made, which led to the St. Louis power play that led to the Shen second goal, he made a great stop on. And in the third period, made some huge stops to, I don't want to say keep the team in it, because at no point did it feel like the Flames were in it in the third period, but didn't allow this thing to turn into a true blowout. So, look, you're not going to have banner nights every single night, and we know that Wolf has been not as strong on the road compared to at home, but we've also talked about how he's earned the opportunity to get some more starts here and earn the opportunity to carry the mail for a little bit. And so I'm really curious to see what this coaching staff decides to do for Saturday. I know where I would go. I'd go right back to Wolf and let him bounce back. You know, if you've already made the commitment to say, we're going to roll a goalie who's playing pretty well, well, Wolf's that guy right now. And prior to tonight, his last nine starts dating back to December 12th, a .929 save percentage, 7-1-1. Okay, so now 7-2-1 in his last 10 starts. Get him back in there on Saturday against Winnipeg. Then you got a four-day break, and get him in there against Buffalo next Thursday. That's what I would do. I think that's where we're at. Now, I don't think permanently you roll Wolf at that frequency, because other things start to play into it, like fatigue and back-to-backs and all that type of stuff. But for the time being, for a stretch of time, I think rolling Wolf like a number one makes a lot of sense, and part of that would be going back to him in a huge game against Winnipeg on the road. That's a massive test for this team. I'm going Wolf. I don't know what the coaching staff's going to do, though. I'm really curious to see how things go on Saturday at morning skate. Okay, to the text line we go at 960-960. This says, I think it's time to take a hard look at revamping the fourth line outside of Lomberg. In the first period alone, they were on the ice for two goals against. Dewar's been invisible, and Rooney is analytically one of the worst skaters in the league. Huska finally realized this and benched Rooney for the third and made him serve the extra penalty at the end when he's normally out for the PK. What do you think about calling up Hunt to replace Dewar and giving Sam Morton a shot in place of Rooney? The younger players have been the driving force for this team, and even in a fourth line role, Morton could be far more effective than Rooney while also gaining valuable NHL experience. What's your take on that? Agree and disagree in that. Do I think there's a discussion to be had about revamping the fourth line? 100%. I think there's a worthy discussion because, you know, we talked a little bit about it on Tuesday's postgame. A couple of texts about, like, why is Rooney still in? And we even talked about it this afternoon on Flames Talk. The reason why Rooney's still in is because on this roster right now, he's the guy that profiles best as a fourth-line center. And for a team that's thin at center and for a more specialized role that you don't necessarily want to get young prospects into as the fourth-line center, right now on this roster, Rooney is the best guy to do that. However, the fourth line has dropped off significantly over the last number of weeks. For instance, in this game, in just 3 minutes and 52 seconds of ice time tonight, that fourth line of Rooney, Dewar, and Lomberg, 10-2 were shot attempts at 5-on-5 in favor of the Blues. 2-0 were goals for and against. 3-0 high dangers. They know they took a lot of only D zone draws, but they were still dreadful. And so that has been a little bit too much of the norm of late. And so whether it's Hunt or Klapka, I think you could very easily make a swap with Dewar. Now, he'd have to clear waivers, but I think you're okay with that. And I would swap Dewar with one of those guys. Yep, I think I'm at that point where I would. And you know what? I think there's a real discussion to be had about potentially doing the same with Rooney and somebody else. Now, I don't think it should be Morton. Right now, with Karens up, Morton's the number one center on the Wranglers, and I'd keep him there in his first full year of pro. The guy I would be a little more inclined to think about if you're going to swap would be Clark Bishop. If you wanted to make a swap with Rooney, and I'd have no problem if we were to find out at noon tomorrow that Rooney and Dewar were on waivers, I'd have no problem if they were to make the swap and go Rooney, Dewar on waivers. If they clear, then bring up Bishop and one of Hunter or Klapka. So mostly agree. I do think it's time for a revamp of the fourth line. The only thing I disagree with is Morton being the guy. I think he's better served in his first year pro of staying as the first line center down there with the Wranglers. But Bishop for Rooney, I think there's a real discussion to be had about that. Here's Kevin in Medicine Hat. Couple losses, but I have to say, I really appreciate the game sets, especially when it's out of division. Animosity makes for some excitement, and as a fan, it helps familiarize with the other players more. Hope to see more of those. I think the Flames did this in St. Louis 2 seasons ago. Not last year, but the season before. They had 2 straight in St. Louis as well. Don't know why it's St. Louis, but that's where they've done it 2 of the last 3 years. Claude writes, Pat, getting swept with a team below them in the standings, at least going into this week, is depressing. It feels like this could haunt them. Brutal first period, but a strong second. Penalty kill continues to disappoint. Road record is meager, and St. Louis feels like Calgary's kryptonite. Was just hoping for a more spirited effort. That comes from Claude. This from Andy. Well, Pat, looks like the Flames will be on the outside looking in. I'm surprised by the team's effort to be sitting where they were. Playoffs seemed like a pipe dream at the moment. For now, enjoying the young talent out on the ice. Mushy middle. That comes from Andy. Andy, I will say, they're still in a playoff spot. And we'll see where they are when they come into Saturday's game. But, I mean, this is a rough couple of games in St. Louis, but it's not like Vancouver is turning up the heat. We'll see what happens with St. Louis and Utah. But the Flames are still the team protecting. Now, compared to the rest of the Western Conference, the Flames are 8 with a bullet compared to the other 7. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Unless Vancouver really ramps it up, if they were the team that ends up being a Vancouver, Calgary, Utah, St. Louis, whatever one of those teams ends up being the second wild card, the way things are shaping up right now, they're clearly the 8 and kind of at a different level from the other 7. Now, that doesn't mean that they're automatically going to lose in the first round because the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs are very fickle like that. But, it does feel like there's a gap between the 7 playoff teams and then the group battling for the final playoff spot right now. This from Jerry. If you have time, go back and look at the last 2 games again and tally up the Blues' tip passes and tip shots. A very large number and several resulted in goals. I dare say the Flames had only 2 or 3 of that type of play, and none of them dangerous that I can recall. Ryan Husk is a pretty good coach, but with their relatively low skill level, is this not a strategy that would be worth promoting? I mean, it's part of making life more difficult on goaltenders, and I will say, Jerry, that in the 2 games they played against St. Louis, aside from the second period of this game tonight, 5 periods where Joel Hofer and Jordan Binnington had life made pretty easy on them, even when the Flames were in the offensive zone. This says, was listening to your show earlier with Kevin Woodley, the goalie expert. I can't remember, but he made a lot of sense. Flames goalies can't make mistakes because they have no run support. That's got to be a lot of pressure on them to try and be perfect. Agreed, and that's been more so on the Vladar side. Vladar, 0.5 goal a game less in terms of goals scored in front of him than when Wolf's been in net. This reads, can't win many games scoring 1 goal. They work hard but don't have the talent to score, and they need to get bigger. Yes, that's 1 goal each in each of the last 2 games. Murray in the Ranchland says, the Flames without Zeri can't score more than 1 or 2 a game. I'd like to see Conroy try to get some scoring help. I know that's easier said than done. My worry is the team might lose their work ethic and lose a player like Anderson to free agency if they aren't given a little bit of external help this season. I'm all for external help if the external help is also long-term help. In that, okay, if they go and find another forward, first of all, I don't think one forward is going to make that much of a difference. This team is going to be, I think we're 44 games in. I think we can very safely say this is a low-scoring hockey team. That's not a low-scoring first half. This is a low-scoring team. Offense hard to come by. I don't think that's going to change regardless of any moves that they might make. That being said, if they were to go to do something to address the lack of scoring, even in a little bit, I would just hope that it's somebody that is not going to be here for this season only. And I don't think that is what we'll end up seeing from Craig Conroy and company. This from Ash. It seems the Flames always struggle against the Blues and Oilers. I'm curious to know your thoughts on whether both Jack Quinn and Bowen Byram should be trade targets. Do you think the right-hand shot Quinn in particular would be a more realistic trade target than Cousins? Byram doesn't make a... I mean, it's not like he doesn't make sense. Bowen Byram's a young defenseman. I wouldn't dislike that. Quinn, sure, decent player. Right shot winger. They don't have a lot of right shots on their team. He's 23 years old. If Buffalo is looking to make a move, I think, you know, Quinn would be a guy that would fit that mold. Younger, could be with this team for more than just this season. So sure, why not? Bowen Byram's tough to say no when you're talking about a 23-year-old with his type of pedigree. Hasn't worked the way the Sabres were hoping it would work, but that's not necessarily his fault only. And he's a left shot D, which could really help solidify something there. Like all of a sudden, if you're talking about Ball, Anderson, Byram, Uyghur, they'd be interesting trade targets. Whether or not Buffalo's interested in moving those guys, I don't know. This says, where are all the Vladar haters now? Would love to hear them. And honestly, I don't think that, at least on this show, it's not a lot of Vladar haters. It's more just a lot of love for Dustin Wolf. Kelly in Copperfield says, Pat, how can they not be ready? Makes zero sense to me. It was a big game. No excuses. Omar writes, Omar in Edmonton, diehard Oilers fan. What do you think about Kadri and Sharangovich? Sharangovich, should they be dealt anywhere before the trade deadline? I believe that's the smart way forward to start fresh next season. I don't know, Omar, and I appreciate the question, and I get that you're an Oilers fan, so I appreciate that you're not trolling more than anything else. Sharangovich, I don't think this would be the right time to trade him. Hasn't even started his new extension, so he's got a big fat extension on the table, 5 years starting next year at $5.5 million. And even though he's playing better right now, he's had largely a frustrating season. So I don't think you're getting much on the Sharangovich. Not even that you're not getting much. I just don't think you're getting the type of return that you would be wanting if you're going to be moving a guy like Sharangovich. I think you're kind of getting quarters on the dollar, so would avoid doing that. Kadri, I think that's something that you wait until the trade deadline or much closer to the trade deadline before making a decision on. Because this team has been very adamant, this both coaching staff and management group has been very adamant that this leadership group is not just important right now, but is important in terms of where they're going. And so because of that, Kadri's part of it. And if they're going to remain in this playoff fight and come March, they're still fighting tooth and nail, either protecting or chasing, I don't think trading Kadri is the way to go. If you want to revisit it in the offseason, different story. So I don't think you're getting the type of return that would be enough to think about moving a guy that you just signed an extension with in Sharangovich. Kadri's too important to this team at the deadline to be cutting bait. So I honestly don't think this season is the time to trade either guy, if you're asking me. And finally, before we hit the phone lines, just have to say, you know, it's a rough game when the 7-year-old won't even put in a prediction of the outcome of the score halfway through the first. Fair enough. Text lines wide open at 960-960. Now, let's get to the phone lines for the first time tonight. We got a few lines open, so if you want to chat tonight, you won't get a busy signal right now. Phone lines at 403-240-4444, and keep the text coming at 960-960. This is your Flames Talk post-game show. My name is Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, call now, but let's kick things off on the phone lines by saying hello to our buddy George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. I hope you're doing well tonight.
I am hanging in.
All right, my man. I know what this team is and what they are. I've been saying this all year. And I know what they're capable of and what they're not capable of, Patty. And I've been pretty even keel, I feel like, anyway, for most of this season. So am I wrong or even a hypocrite for being pretty pissed off about the game and the result tonight?
Well, I mean, No, you're being a fan, right? Like, you're like many people. Like, you understand the big picture and all that type of stuff, but also don't like to see your team lose. And that's So no, I don't think you're being a hypocrite. I think you're just being a fan.
It's just like I knew we were getting into this season, and for a large part of it, it has been a surprise. I mean, I still, like I say, I will preface this by saying the fact that we're even using the Calgary Flames in playoffs in the same sentence is a surprise to me because I expected much less. In saying that, these two games were very important for the Flames, and all I was hoping for was a split, as were many people. And what happened the last game, okay, you know, a bad turnover with Backlund, goal goes in, it happens, okay? But to come out in that first period like that, that really rubbed me the wrong way, and I don't understand it. And I give them credit for trying to come back in the second. I mean, they dominated pretty much that whole period, and they had nothing to show for it.
Well, they had the one goal. They got it back within two, and then
the
penalty kill, right?
Then, you know, yeah, right. So, I don't know. I'm of the mindset. This is just my mindset, okay? I would rather them make the playoffs this year, only because, as I've said before, I see no path of them finishing bottom 10. So why not make the most of what you got? That pick is very likely going to Montreal anyway at this point. So maybe you get in. Yeah, maybe you get crushed in the first round, right? Maybe you do. But who knows? Maybe you could pull an upset off and get to the second round.
The only thing I would say to there's no path is that the Flames are 15th in the league right now, but only 5 points removed from 22nd. Only 5 points removed from 23rd, which would have them in the top 10 for the draft. So it's not like they're so, and I'm not suggesting that I think they're going to fall back, but it's not as massive a gap as you might think would be the only rebuttal I'd have there.
That's true. The other thing about it is, like, almost secretly, and this is me being kind of a hypocrite again, I know inside what's best for this team, right? Like getting draft picks, all that. At the same time, the way they played this year and the way they fought with this roster has brought pride out in me. So it makes it to where, like, I want to cheer for them that much more, and I almost want them to shove it down everyone's throat, including my own, because I, at the beginning of the year, definitely predicted them being very bad. So, you know, that's a part of it too, right? So it's tough. It's games like today and the position we're in where you're like just barely there and you got St. Louis breathing down your neck. You wonder, will Vancouver figure it out? It's like the worst thing possible with them would this year for me personally would be for them to finish like 2 points out and not make it, right? That would just be a dagger.
Yes, that would be the worst case scenario. You give up the better pick and you don't make the playoffs. That would be undesirable.
Yeah, so yeah, thankfully you understand where I'm coming from. I don't sound too crazy to you, I guess. But let's get the Dustin Wolf stuff out of the way here, because I know his haters are probably salivating at the chance to criticize him on a night like tonight, okay? So let's get this out of the way very quickly. Yes, it wasn't his best game. Yes, even really good goalies have bad games. And, you know, I didn't like the two goals he let in. But no, his size had nothing to do with the two bad goals being allowed. If I hear one person say something about his size being the reason why those goals go in, I'm gonna pull my hair out, because that had zero to do with it.
Don't do that. You got a nice head of hair, George. I've seen it. Don't do that.
Yeah, right? I'm being sarcastic, of course, but yeah. Look, and I will say this, and this may come off as me like defending him or whatever, and that's fine if people think that. But despite the fact that he let in the two goals that normally he would save, you got to give the guy credit. He did battle back, and he made some great saves. Now, it didn't matter because we didn't win the game, so fine. But give the kid credit for battling and not totally falling apart and having this become an 8-1 game, because that happens with goalies sometimes, right?
Yeah, and I mean, he's a tough guy to rattle, so I don't think we're overly surprised that he figured it out too. Like, that's just also partly who he is, right? I mean, he's very good at battling through, and even though those the second goal specifically was rough, you know, he's the type of guy that is going to stick with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll end on this note, my friend. I know you've already had the discussion ad nauseum about the fourth line, both on Flames Talk, and then a texter basically took everything I was about to say for that. So I won't really repeat everything, but I do agree the fourth line needs, and I think has needed for a little bit here, a revamp.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually liked your suggestion about bringing Clark Bishop up because he has done great work for the Wranglers. He is their current captain. He would fit the role perfectly. Like Walker Duehr came up for a couple games. I thought he was good his first couple games, and then he just went back to the Walker Duehr of last year. I think it's time for him to go down. I don't think he'll get claimed on waivers anyway. Kevin Rooney, like I said, there was a time on the show where I complimented him, and rightfully so, because he deserved that praise. He had a run there where he was playing really, really well. And now it's just, I don't know what happened to him. It's just fallen off from the only person who's even worth anything on that line right now to me is Ryan Lomberg. That's it. So I would definitely attempt to revamp that with a couple new players on that line with Lomberg and see where that goes. Because at this point, not only is that line ineffective, but it's actually hurting us right now. And when a fourth line plays 7 to 10 minutes a game, they cannot be hurting you.
Yeah, I agree on that front. Don't know if it'll be something that we see prior to Saturday. Maybe an opportunity to get Kuzmenko back in up front, see what you can do there. I don't know. I actually would probably be quite in favor of that the more I think about it. See if you can get Kuzmenko in, even on the fourth line, and then take a Duehr out. I don't think he'd be taking Rooney out. Not only did he get benched in the third period, did not have a single shift in the third period, but then also got pegged, served the penalty. I can't remember ever seeing that. I was like, oof, that's not what you would want if you're an NHL player. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm of the opinion that you could definitely make the decision to, like, a Dryden Hunt or an Adam Klapka for Duehr. I think that is pretty easy to do. And also the Rooney one, I think, is a very fair conversation to have at this point. Whether or not they do it right away, I don't know, but I could see it. I mean, I think there's some merit to it because Rooney has definitely struggled here over the last little while.
Yeah, he has. Thank you so much, my man, for the conversation. I hope you have a great night, bud.
Thank you, Georgie. Appreciate it. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 following a Flames 4-1 loss in St. Louis. We say hello to our buddy Robert. Hello, pal.
Good evening, Pat.
Hello, sir.
Pat, I want to talk about Rasmus tonight.
Sure.
But I want to have a few comments. Nothing about the game tonight. No comment on the game tonight. Wolfie, could have been a 6-7-1 game. Patty, I got two quick comments before I talk about Rasmus.
Sure.
Are we serious here, this fan base? We're questioning Wolf, our goalie, with Vladar. Let's simplify this. Let's put Wolf and Vladar on the trade bait. See how many people call for Vladar or Wolf. Are we serious here? Is everybody losing it here?
Well, not everybody. I will say, Robert, that it would be very few who would be of the opinion that there'd be very few on that. I think I read one text on that front. I would say the vast majority of Flames fans are very pro-Wolf.
Patty, this kid is going to be our starter for many years. I'm not too high on goalies because, you know, goalies is the toughest, one of the craziest position to try and handicap, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
But this kid, I can remember, Patty, Patty, I'm pissed off. I'm really pissed off with this Vladar and Wolf. You know what's the three brightest spots of this team this year? Wolfie, Matty C, and Zari. And I'm even pissed off that Zari's out. And I can't look at it that way. That's a beer. And I know you. Please, Patty. I want to be loyal. If a fan's going to throw Huberto in my face, I don't have a dislike for Huberto as a hockey player. I have a dislike for Huberto because Huberto would have never been in this franchise because of two people, Sutter and Tree Living, who allowed Chucky to walk away, not reside here, and Johnny not to be here anymore. That's my main beef. I don't want to hear about Huberto. He can score 100 goals. I don't forget. Huberto was never meant to be here. You can blame Sutter and Treleaven for this disaster. And I don't want to hear about the 18, 19 goals. His production this year don't mean nothing. What I want to talk to you before I go, Rasmus, when is Matty C going to get a chance on the stop line on the right with Kadri and you know who?
I don't know, but I'd be really interested in seeing it. We talked about that a little earlier, this afternoon on Flames Talk, Robert, and I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'd be all for it. I'd actually be really interested in seeing that, honestly.
Okay. The thing about tonight's game, no, I do have a comment, Patty. I hope this starts Anaheim 2. How many years? 17, 18 games? I hope this is not Anaheim 2 with the St. Louis Blues. That's a comment. Patty, let's talk about Rasmus. I'm going to give you the first question, then I'll say my bit. What would we get for Rasmus if we put him on the trade bait?
I think you'd probably get, off the top of my head, if we're thinking about if it were to be like this season.
Yeah.
I think you'd probably get a nice haul for him, honestly. I think you'd get first-round pick and more. Probably could be talking about a first-round pick, prospect, and another pick. I think that's fair, or just off the top of my head.
Okay, fair enough. Here, so I'll say by saying that I'd like you to respond. Rasmus is going to be 29 in October. I love Rasmus because, number one, he's born in October, the best month of the year for sports. That's why I love him. Patty, Conroy's been a hockey player. He's a general manager, right? You know, Patty, I'm watching Colorado Edmonton. I watch a lot of hockey, not just the Flames. You know when you said if we stick in the playoffs, we're a bullet out of the seven teams in the Western Conference? Never mind the Eastern Conference. Bullet? Patty, I've seen a lot of hockey in my life. I see teams when they turn it up. You know how far we are from a Stanley Cup or beat a Condagra? You know what I want, Patty? I'll say it again until the cows come home. Kadri, all these players, trade, get off. I want picks, 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 draft picks, 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 to get a Stanley Cup. I remember one call, Patty, you said to me, Kucherov and Braden Point, or Tampa Bay, they went first round. But let me remind you, Patty, because you're a smart man. Everybody thinks it's luck with Tampa Bay. No, it's not luck. When it happens 2, 3, 4 times, it's not just luck. It's actually knowing scouts and what they're doing. And I remember you saying something like that.
Which I think is true. I don't think Tampa got lucky necessarily with those guys. Did they draft them a little earlier than... a little later than in hindsight they should have? Sure, but they identified them, right?
Right. You know, Patty, you know what you might think about Rasmus? I love Rasmus because we grew this kid. He came through our system, and it would be sad to let go, Patty. But this has come to the point of what's better for the Flames. Patty, if everybody thinks by 2027 we're going to be a Stanley Cup contender, like we're living in another reality here. And I hope Conroy, yes, he always says we want to get young, we want to get players that could be good for now, but for future. But I hope we do that, Patty. Because, Patty, I watch a lot of hockey, man. We're not even close. And to me, getting the playoffs this year, you know, Patty, you know what would make me really mad? To get two home games to Edwards, the owner, which I don't want to get there. But it would be another gigantic step back. Patty, Kadri, these people have to go. Picks, 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 draft picks. We have to get these young players. Patty, can I tell you something? Where are the three surprises to you in this year's Flames? The three players who surprised you.
Wolf.
Yeah.
Huberto.
Okay. I'll slide that by. Okay. Fine. Okay.
I don't know. Who else would be in that mix?
Zeri,
yeah.
Kennedy
C. And Coronado, yeah.
Okay. So this notion of waiting until the trade line to see if we're hanging around the bush here to try and sneak in the playoffs and then to get blasted in the first round. And I'll say it again, if we go to the Stanley Cup final with 2 rounds, I'll apologize to you and everybody on this radio station, but I watched this hockey paddy for 40-something years as hockey cup. I can count on my hand how many times I was wrong. I want this team to rebuild. This notion that you're reading, I want young people, young players, we have a chance. I'm tired of this sneaking, hanging around. Because the way people are getting this read, Patty, all Conrad's going to wait to see, to make any moves with Kadri, to see if we're hanging around the playoff deadline, you know, the trade deadline. What hanging around? Hanging around, you got to make these moves. Even guys like Coleman, Patty, we got to get the covers filled. We got to get young players. Because with young players, you have a hope. You have some kind of, maybe it could be something. With this scenario, Patty, this Death Valley, Maitland in the middle, I've seen it too long, too many years. I'm tired of it. I wanted to rebuild. We probably will take 5-6 years, but I'd rather the rest of my life take it with some young players who can be something instead of what we've been doing for the last decade, how many years. I'm really tired, Patty. And, you know, even these players like Kuzmenko, these guys should be on a plane the quickest. Never mind trade. They should be on a plane. I'll drive them to the airport myself and pay them food, dinner, alcohol. They got to get out of here. I want young players, before I go, picks, traffics. I want a team I can be proud. I told you, Patty, I don't care about players come and go. Players come and go. It's the jersey. It's the local. In any sports, that's what counts. Thank you, my man.
Thank you, Robert.
Sorry for ranting.
Appreciate it as always, pal. I think there's a lot of people who probably are on the same wavelength as Robert in terms of what they want to see the team do. I think it's important to point out that the desire, I don't think, is there from the very top to do what Robert wants. Agree or disagree, you know, that in the end, that matters. And so as a result, I think sometimes it can be like banging your head against the wall. And so what I keep saying is, and I truly do believe this, is what we're seeing right now from this group and by them going about their business the way that they are, it is different than it's been in the past. And it's not exactly how people want it. It's not how people like Robert want it. Or, you know, there's Mick, there's lots of people that, you know, and I don't think that people want them to rebuild because they like them to be bad. You know, we all understand the reasoning as to why people want them to be a certain way or get certain draft picks, so on and so forth. But if the desire doesn't exist there from the very top, I'm kind of the opinion that at least this is different than it has been. And I know that that is not going to placate a lot of people when talking about this, because, you know, I think there's always going to be a, well, okay, but still do it the right way type of thing. But I do think that it's important to point out that at the very least, this is different, and they have gone younger and they've been committed to going younger. And so under the circumstances, I remain very interested to see how Craig Conroy goes about his business, because I do like the way it started under the parameters. I think he's done a very good job, and I think that there are a lot of things to like. And I know that they don't have a McKinnon or a McDavid or a Kucherov or a Celebrini or whatever names you want to use. I get it. Those guys don't exist on this team right now. But at the very least, this is different than it's been. And I think that's a positive, and I'm willing to let it keep on rolling because under the parameters, I think Conroy's done a pretty good job of making the team younger and infusing younger players in. 403-240-4444. Evan is with us. What's up, Evan?
Pat, what's going on, brother?
Not much, brother. Welcome home. Happy 40th. Happy belated 40th. First of all,
thank you. I appreciate that.
I was out in Vancouver visiting my bro and my sister-in-law and my nephew when you had your 40th birthday celebration, so I couldn't pop by. But believe me, Eugenio, he invited me, and happy 40th. And
I appreciate that.
Welcome back to this side of the world.
It's been a whirlwind. I've been back a few weeks now, trying to get caught up on all the Flames news. I gotta say, when it comes to my fan card, maybe I'm not as diligent as some of our other out of town callers like George and Carolina and some other fans here. You know what I mean? I don't keep up to date on the team to the same degree that other fans do, but it's been interesting. It was a very passionate call that we just had there with Robert, but I didn't hear. What did he say he wants?
I couldn't make it out what he wanted. Actually, a colleague at the Dome also just has texted me wondering what does Robert want? I don't know. I don't know what he wants. He wants to see players traded away for something. I couldn't make out what it was.
It was a great call. He kind of took a little bit of the thunder out of what I was wanting to ask, in the sense that obviously the team's at or meeting expectations. But for, you know, the next decade, is this the best path forward for us, or is it not? And so you don't ever want to purposely lose, but it's just one of those type of things here. It's just frustrating, I think, where we think we're doing it smarter as a fan base and as an organization than other teams in sports. But we're not really achieving what we want to achieve on the flip side. We're not really a competitive team as an organization. As you said, I'm a fresh 40-year-old, and I think you're the same age as well. But effectively for, you know, young guys like us, which we're really not that young, we really haven't seen anything of excitement in our actual lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, 89, we were, you know, effectively, you know, 4 or 5 years old. What do you do for a generation of fans, multiple generations of fans, where we have some level of continued success and forget a cup? I mean, a cup or a couple cups would be fantastic. We haven't had long playoff runs. We haven't had devastating third round losses. You know, I think it was effectively 10 years ago now that we had went to the second round, and I think we won one game against Anaheim.
Well, they had the one year 3 years ago that was pretty special, but
that was against Edmonton, correct?
Yeah,
but we won
one
game.
Okay, yeah. You're talking about the second round.
I'm in the second round.
No, you're right. I get what you're saying now. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Oh yeah. No, it was just one of those type of things where, you know, you want some like a long playoff run. Is exciting. You know, if you lose, at least you can look forward to next year. But I don't know what there is to really look forward to as a Flames fan from a winning perspective. So I understand Robert's passion, the other fan bases. You know, bottoming out does not really guarantee success, but having those players that are next level, game changing, sports changing, they help someone to build around, and it's good for business as well. I know there's a lot of hate that happens that goes to our neighbors to the north here, but you know that fan base has some excitement to it. Whereas ours, like I said, this year has a little bit better than anticipated here. But you know, if I wasn't born a Flames fan, would I really be a Flames fan? I don't know, because we don't have that level of excitement that other organizations around the league do. And I kind of find myself now as a fan here just not paying the same level of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And my engagement is much stronger than other people's, but it's not as strong as it used to be, because it's like, well, you know, it's the same thing every year. And I just envision a scenario here where the worst case scenario for the team probably materializes. Do I see us going far in the playoffs? Doubtful. Do I see us making the playoffs? Possibly. Might get swept, maybe win a game. I don't know. But we'll probably finish near the middle, out of the playoff spot, and then whatever conditions happen with that first round pick, I think we have to send that to Montreal, is it?
If it's not, if it's outside of the top 10, yes.
Yes. And then the likelihood of that happening, I think, is getting harder and harder by the day, no?
It depends. I mean, I will keep saying there's a lot of hockey to be played. We'll see. I get it that, yes, right now, if you were to look at it, they're not, you know, in a spot where they would be protecting that pick. So it would be transferring to Montreal, and then they'd get the worst pick from – they'd then get Florida's pick in the first round is the way it would work.
Okay. A lot of conditions. It's funny, growing up here, there wasn't that many conditions on draft picks as there is now.
That was part of the most complicated thing ever. That was still a part of the trade between Florida and Calgary, and then the trade between Montreal and Calgary that sent Monahan. That was a very complicated, complicated couple of trades that has led to this being as complicated as it is.
Slightly off topic, but it's nice to see Monahan have a little bit of a rebound year in Columbus.
It definitely is. And I mean, he had a rebound year last year too with the Jets in Montreal. It's been a nice renaissance for him.
Monahan family ever since he got drafted. And he's worked hard, produced at a level that has been very consistent over the years. Just a great all-around guy. We paid a lot to get to ship him to Montreal, which is very unfortunate. And then that just kind of got, you know, compounded here with contracts that were handed out to other players and trying to chase, you know, the dream, I guess, so to speak, with some other contracts that maybe aren't that great. But such is life. So,
yeah.
How's everything on your end?
Good, man. I'm hanging in there. Things are good. Things are generally pretty solid over here. We gotta get together here sometime soon. Hey?
We will. So, all right. Well, I just wanted to say hi to you. Happy New Year Happy New Year to you, Robert, George, a lot of the other regular callers here, and I'll be listening forward on a more regular basis.
It's good to have you back in the city, pal, and we will talk to you soon. Be well, Ev.
Ciao, buddy.
Okay, man. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 following a Flames 4-1 loss on the road in St. Louis tonight. Let's say hello to Dylan on the phone lines. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, Pat. How are you this evening?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. A lot of the prior calls really summed up everything. Robert, George was great. George said a lot of the same things. Just adding to that, you know, in the real world, if you don't show up to your job on time, you get canned. So we need to make sure that these people know that on this team, because we can't just come out on TV after and say, oh, yeah, we'll do it next time and we'll get better. That's not how that works. I mean, we're trying to get people excited for us to get into the playoffs, and they're all crazy, the players in the room. Yeah, we're going to stick it to them. We're going to get in, and it's going to be great. Well, we need to show up tonight. I mean, nowhere to be found in the first period, a complete waste of everybody's time to watch this team. It's a real shame. It's too bad. It sucks. Dustin was not at his excellent peak, but you can't just rely on him to save the day every time. Kevin Rooney, we got to do something with that fourth line. It's just not working. There's a lot of things that need to be changed, Pat. That's what happens when you're a middle-of-the-road team. I mean, you feel good beating Chicago. Not a good team. You've won 3 straight. Now you're on the verge of losing 3 straight. So you've basically sat in neutral, so which doesn't do anything. I think there's only one answer, Pat, is that Jerome and Craig, they come to my place here and we have a discussion about bringing me on board.
Yeah, that's the tonic is getting Dylan on board.
Yeah, I think I could add a ton of great things to this organization.
Like what? What do we got? Like, give me your pitch. I'll pass it on to Connie.
I would get these guys working so hard. You know, they thought Darryl was hard to work for. I would get these guys moving.
So, Dylan, why would they buy, like, you know, NHL players? You know, they know that they're the best players in the world. Why would they be like, hey, Dylan, the guy who played in the NHL, didn't play in the NHL, let's work for him? How would Dylan get Blake Coleman, a two-time Stanley Cup winner, and Nazem Kadri, a Stanley Cup winner? Like, how would Dylan get these guys working harder? I'm really curious.
I wouldn't. It's all just a big lie. I wouldn't be able to, Pat. I'm living a fake reality where one day it'll happen. But no, it's funny. All good fun. Anyway, speaking of the teams behind us, it's getting pretty crazy with the Canucks there. JT Miller does not look good. I think the Twitter is getting nuts over there in Vancouver land. It sure is interesting there. I think everyone's freaking out and panicking right now and talking about not having any hope or nothing to look forward to. I mean, the hockey is so random. It is so random. You never know what's going to happen. The Canucks looked crazy good last year, and then look what's happening now. It's unbelievable. You never know what's going to happen. We got to bring it down a bit, and just we can't. That's one thing you can do in management. That's why those guys are so good at it, because they don't overreact. They don't panic. They just say they're not fans. They work their job. They don't get overly emotionally invested. That's why I wouldn't be good at it. I would get way too excited, and I'd be doing things as a fan, not an owner, or, you know, manager. But everyone's just, let's just relax. Everyone's got to calm down. We're getting too wound up, and things are either going to make it or not. There's not much you can do, really.
Mm-hmm. I agree on that front, my friend.
And yet, like, guys, I mean, for the most part, the Flames have drafted pretty good. I mean, this last draft was fantastic. I mean, they drafted some. I think Zane's going to be great. That guy's got a great attitude. Those are the kind of guys you win with. That just because that's what he's done in his OHL with that what's that team he plays with, the other Miza brother? Is it
Saginaw?
Saginaw, yeah. The Spirit. Yeah. That team wins and they dominate. So, I mean, he's going to bring some of those attitudes here as a young kid. They just got to. He's got to make sure he can fit in well. But, no, it is possible. It is possible to build a contending team while also trying to rebuild on the fly. You just have to draft really well. There's no margin for error. And you got to believe in Craig and Cole that they can do that.
All right, pal. Well, I appreciate the call as always, Dylan. You be well, hey?
All right, you as well, man. We'll see you around.
You know it. Appreciate it, man. Phone lines are open. 403-240-4444. Text line. Sorry, I've got a cough drop in, so I need to swish that around so I can talk again. Text line's open at 960-960 as well. Couple lines open if you want to jump in and chat at 403-240-4444. Funny enough, Robert's call sparked the text line a little bit. We'll get into some text here in a little bit as well. But let's go back inside the Flames locker room for a final time. 4-1 final score in St. Louis. You always know you're going to get some honesty from Mackenzie Weegar. Let's hear from him post-game tonight in St. Louis.
Tough first period. Just your thoughts on the team's effort tonight?
Yeah, just disappointing. Especially when these games, you know, are huge games right now with the standings, how they are. You know, that's just preparation and focus. And, you know, it's kind of happened a few times this year where we've kind of come out like that, especially on the road. It's just disappointing. And, you know, I've said this before, it's a lot of it comes to the leadership, getting guys ready and focused before games. So it's just disappointing. We can't let that happen.
What can you do differently? Like, do you have to change something drastically to try and get going for the first?
Not really. Honestly, they play the same way that we play, honestly. And they kind of took it to us as how we play at home. You know, that they're on top of us. They forecheck hard. They backcheck hard. You know, credit to them, obviously. But, I mean, if we just played the same way that we played in the second, I think that's a completely different game. And, you know, maybe we'd be having a lot different conversation right now.
you guys did generate a lot of chances in the second. Mm-hmm. Must have been frustrating to you that Chernogovich was the only one able to score.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the last few games we've been kind of having trouble scoring. Obviously, you want guys to feel good and, you know, get pucks in the back of the net. And that's just another area that we have to improve on, is bearing down on chances and creating more, you know, havoc around the net, maybe more eyes in front of the goaltenders. You know, we spoke about it tonight, not letting these goalies play the puck a lot. And we gave them a lot of touches. And then they just start feeling good. And, you know, they're gaining confidence. And we just got to prepare. You know, we talked about it a lot today. So a lot of it comes on preparation and, you know, listening to our game plan.
That's Mackenzie Weegar. His thoughts post-game after this 4-1 loss in St. Louis. Okay, last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. 403-240-4444. Got a couple lines open, so if you want to talk, now's the time to do so. If you're on hold, stay there. And it's last call for phone calls, for new calls. Also, keep the text coming at 960-960. Flames Talk post-game, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And live right here, this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right. Rough one. Flames lose at 4-1 in St. Louis. We're rolling through your Flames Talk postgame show on this Thursday night. It's Steinberg along with you. And let's get to the text line at 960-960. One more time. I'll throw it out one more time. It is last call for phone calls. If you want to chat on the phone lines, if you're on hold, stay there. If not, it is last call for phone calls at 403-240-4444. But back to the text line we go at 960-960. Pat, Wolf led in a couple bad goals, and Vladar was great the last game. Why do you want Wolf in next game? Wolf won 3 of his 15 games against teams not in the playoffs. If they flip Wolf and Vladar around, Wolf wouldn't be as good as he is. The reason why would be because I think that Wolf has, A, been the better goalie, B, has done a nice job of, or has earned the opportunity, rather, to get run like a number one. And I'm not saying permanently run like a number one, but for the time being, run like a number one. And a number one is going to get the opportunity to go right back in after a game that wasn't up to standard. And tonight was not up to standard for Wolf. He's been very good, but this one he was not as good in. He went 7-1-1 in his 9 starts. So since December 12th, he's now started 10 of the last 14 games. And in the last 9 starts, prior to this 10th one, he's gone 7-1-1 with a .929 save percentage. That is why I'm looking at it and saying, yes, I think that they should go back to Wolf, because he's earned his spot to go right back in, and he's earned his opportunity to be rolled like a number one goalie for the time being. Whether or not they do it or not, I have no idea. But I am really interested to see what the Flames end up doing for Saturday's road trip finale on the road in Winnipeg. It's against one of the best teams in the league, not playing as well as they played to begin the year, but is still one of the best teams in the league. So I'm curious to see. I really am interested to see what they end up doing for that game and how they decide to go about their next couple of starts. I'm having a little bit of a issue with the text line. I don't know what the heck happened, but now I'm able to, I think I can get back in here. There we go. Okay. This says, from Jeremy in Lethbridge, they miss Zeri. Boy, do they ever. This says, Pat, Kuzmenko for Hall. Who says no? P.S. A while back, I compared Zeri to Allen Iverson. How do you like the Coronado? How do you like Coronado to Dallas Clark? Dallas Clark, the former Indianapolis Colts tight end? Geez, that one's a little bit more of a stretch. I mean, both kind of play like Bisons, and Bison is the nickname of Matthew Coronado. Kuzmenko for Hall, I think Chicago says no all day, every day, honestly, on that one. Ali says, too good for bottom 10 and too bad for top 10. always has been like this and always will be. That first period performance was unacceptable. Jared says, was at the game again tonight. Pretty disappointing effort. Again, there was no real sustained pressure except for maybe 5 to 10 minutes in the second period. Good to see Sharon Govich score, but other than that, there was not much to like. Wolf had an off game, and especially that slapshot goal from the point, he just misread it. Flames can't seem to win in St. Louis. Been going to all the games here for the last 4 years, and I think they've only won once, if that. Really missing Zeri in this lineup. Need to find some kind of offensive spark. That comes from Jared, who's going to school in St. Louis. That's cool that you were able to get to both games. This from Vince. Pat, how can you consider yourself a playoff team, especially fully knowing that two games against St. Louis was the time to push them further away instead of allowing them back? There was no urgency, not showing any fight. I'm very disappointed. Enough about Vladar and Wolf. They're the reason they're holding on to a playoff spot, barely. This reads, sorry, the Flames are a mirage. They have no scorers, no true game changers. If this management keeps betting on players playing a perfect game, then good luck. It's hard to do that in 82 games. This team needs a true rebuild with a game-changing player and not waiting if this player or this other player will get better. You can get younger, but without skill, they've got a bunch of grinders. What else we got here at 960-960? This says, Patty, picks. Gotta love Robert's passion. Comes from Smiley. What else we got here at 960-960? Paul in Lethbridge says, Robert's call was call of the year. Picks needs to be your bumper music for Flames Talk. Is that like LMFAO and like shot, like that same thing? Pat, ask your guys to keep Robert's picks in your audio. If the Flames miss, does someone pay the price? Is Notice a future successor to Conroy or the leash shortens on Huska? That comes from Raj. Well, Notice isn't a coach, so I don't think it's a Huska successor. And I don't think that he is a... I don't think that he's a guy that would... First of all, I don't think Conroy's on a short leash. Second of all, I don't think Notice, the older guy with the... Notice was brought in as a veteran to add some experience. So... yeah, I don't think that he's a guy that would be taking over for Craig Conroy permanently anyway. This reads, Robert's so entertaining. I seldom agree, but I can't stop listening when he calls. He ranks up there with Sylvia. Just remember, selling off assets for picks doesn't always work out. Remember Patrick Steffen, Alexander Daigle, Nail Yakupov in Edmonton. Also, the contenders that want your high-end players' first-round picks are closer to second-round picks. This says... Flames are the West version of the Islanders. It's embarrassing how mediocre the organization's been. If they want to build a legit cup contender, rebuild through the draft. Well, can I just say, they just drafted 10 players in 2024, and draft experts universally lauded them for the job they did. I'm not saying that they're going to draft their superstar, or they did. All I'm saying is, it's year one of what they're trying to do. And that's why I'm not willing to just completely say, well, it's the same old, and they're going to be the same thing they have been, and it'll never change. And if you believe that, that's fine. I'm just sitting here trying to make the point that a new guy is involved who has gone out of his way to try to make this team younger. Maybe we can let him go through the process. Maybe we can see how it plays out. That's all I'm saying. And we're 44 games into year one of a new direction. And to sit here and claim that it's going to be the same old, or it's a failure, or it's completely successful, is too premature across the board, if you ask me. This says 2 second-round appearances in 2 decades, but let's keep doing the same things. It's insanity. What are they doing the same? This is what I don't understand. Like, since Craig Conroy took over, he's traded everybody for picks. He's traded Toffoli, Zadorov, Lindholm, Tanev, Hanifin, Markstrom, Mangiapane, 7 core pieces, all for picks. And a few players that are on the roster right now and a bunch of prospects. Like, in what world is that the same way they've been going about their business over the last 20, 30 years? And again, I'm not suggesting that what Conroy is going to do is ultimately going to lead them to a Stanley Cup, because I still know they need to find more foundational pieces. But to sit here and say it's the same thing, I just think is not looking at what actually is happening. That's all. This says, I drive the C train in this city, so I see thousands of people every day. I see more kids in Oilers jerseys than Flames jerseys. We're losing our next generation of Flames fans to our biggest rivals. Why? Because they have star players, are excited to watch, and are competing for cups. The Flames are a perennial average team. They're in the same position now as they were since I became a fan in 1996. One good year in all that time. Time to sell them vets and get them picks, picks, picks. And finally, the fact the Flames are where they are right now, this season's already a win. That comes from Matt in Seton. Great stuff on the text line. And now let's head back to the phone lines. Three more calls before we wrap up at 403-240-4444. Flames lose 4-1 in St. Louis, and we say hello to Bryce. What's going on, Bryce?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good, buddy.
Yeah, just maybe a couple of questions. You know, the schedule, I couldn't figure out why would they put two games in St. Louis. Is this does this happen to them like every year?
No, it was just a quirk in the schedule, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's somewhat kind of. I know it's not an excuse, but some of it does affect how they kind of approach things and some of the things. I don't know, but it's weird because that was odd. I think normally wouldn't it be like you do it home and home, but maybe that wouldn't have been too much.
You got to remember, yeah. Bryce, there's 32 teams, 82 mm-hmm. games for each of the teams. That schedule mm-hmm. matrix is very, mm-hmm. very complicated. So I don't know why they had two games in St. Louis on a Tuesday and Thursday. Like, I don't know why that was it was a quirk yeah. in the schedule, but they put yeah. a lot of time into this schedule for sure.
Yeah, no, that was just weird. And then also too, the other question that, yeah, the fourth line, yeah, that there somewhat needs some changes there, and to play with Lomberg, great. And like you're right, do the switch for Bishop, and yeah, just some switch around so that at least you get some good efforts on that line that would help them kind of.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think you could think mm-hmm. about it. I don't think that it is going to mm-hmm. make a massive, massive difference.
No.
But I think it could give them a small improvement for sure.
Hmm. Yeah. Just for a little bit more energy, because I guess and they don't put that one on Wolf though, because it was a tough one, but it was just a couple questions there. And then are they still like for centermen, are they there? You know, there's a couple in Boston. I've heard rumors there's like that Frederick and they were talking about, like, some rumors are flying out there. Flames are involved because they're younger and they're centers. Like,
I haven't personally heard. I haven't heard mm-hmm. Frederick connected to the Flames myself. And I mean,
mm-hmm. you know the guy, right? You heard him?
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah. I don't really think like that's not. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's mostly used as a winger right now in Boston. Mm-hmm. He's 26. He'll be 27 in a few weeks, and a left shot like that. That would not be the type of guy I'd be looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just thought to ask, but it's like, cause it's up there too. It's like some where I saw it was, I guess. Yeah. I was just a thought just to ask, cause you probably know more than I would.
But, I have not heard Frederick is one of the guys that, they'd be interested in. I've heard, you know, Cousins, Pinto, those are names that mm-hmm. I think they'd be more inclined to look at. I don't know if Frederick mm-hmm. would be at the top yeah. of their list.
Unless they picked him up just for a death player for the ring or something. I don't.
Well, no, but he's an NHLer. Yeah. He's not an AHL guy. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. I just thought to ask those ones and hope you're doing good. And I guess I'll talk to you next time. And Have a good one.
All right, Bryce, good to hear from you, pal. You be well.
Yeah, you too.
Let's say hello to Jared on the phone lines. What's going on, Jared?
Hey, Pat. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. I was at the game again tonight. It was a little disappointing to see that effort again after even them having a little bit of rest. I mean, it is only two games, though. We were just on a three-game win streak, so it's not the end of the world. We're still in a playoff spot somehow.
Yeah, and you saw it firsthand, and I'm sorry that the two times they come to St. Louis for you, that you see them lose like that. That's too bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were not. I didn't dislike the effort, honestly, on Tuesday night, but tonight was frustrating for sure, because you come out like that in the first period. They didn't deserve this one. They honestly didn't.
Yeah, no. I mean, Tuesday night at the game, like, it was only 2-1. Like, it was kind of a boring game, but it was still, like, close. They were kind of playing hard. Tonight, like, first period, they scored before we even got into our seats, and after that, it was just kind of, there was nothing all night. Like, I mean, Wolf struggled a little bit. The one flap shot from the point, it just looked like he went the complete wrong way, and it just went right through him, which was unfortunate. But he has been good, so, you know, I can't rip on him too hard. And there just wasn't really any pressure, like, except for, like, 10 minutes in the second period, there was just no forecheck. Like, we couldn't get into their zone and can't create any kind of high-danger chances. Like, we have to figure out some way to just get the puck into the middle of the ice and forecheck, crash the net hard to just get rebounds. We're not going to score a lot of pretty goals, but, you know, you got to get in there somehow, right?
Yep. Yeah, I agree, and I don't really know how you go about fixing it. Like, to just, like, fix the lack of offense or the inability to get to the really high danger areas. Like, it's been an issue for them all year. I don't think one player is going to change it. I think it was worse tonight and Tuesday than it has been most years, or most games rather, but this year it has been a pretty constant problem for them, whether it's been the Blues, who, give them credit, are quite good at protecting that house area, or other teams. I mean, outside of teams like Chicago and Nashville, the Flames have not done a very good job of generating offense this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's just like they play so perimeter, and it feels like it's a lot of east-west when they're not playing their game. And when they are playing their game, it's a very north-south game, and that just wasn't the case tonight. So, you know, it would have been nice to see a little bit better of an effort, but it is what it is. Do you think maybe Pospisil could be kind of like drop him down to the fourth line, and maybe he could have a bit more of an impact and maybe bump somebody like Coronado up to the first line, has a little bit more offensive skill? Or maybe even, like, if Rory Cairns keeps playing good, he could maybe be a guy that bumps up there in that first line. And he's still a bigger guy, so he can still forecheck hard, but has a little bit more of a high-end skill aspect to it as well.
I wonder about Coronado there, honestly, because he's playing. I thought he, again, was a very good player in this game tonight, was one of the few forward bright spots. I thought Coronado, Coleman, Cairns, Pelche, Sharon Govich were kind of the bright spots from a forward standpoint tonight. I didn't mind Pospisil on Tuesday. Tonight, I thought he and Huberdeau were quite, I don't know, mediocre. I do wonder a little bit about the long-term fit of Pospisil on that line for sure. And as such, I would think about at some point potentially moving. I don't know if it would be Cairns for me. I really quite like the idea of keeping Cairns where he is for now. But potentially Coronado on that line with Kadri, I'd be down for that.
Yeah, definitely. Coronado does seem like a good fit there. And Cairns has been playing really good on that third line. Well, thank you, Pat. Just wanted to say thank you for the show.
Where definitely do you, where do you go to school?
I go to school at Maryville University in St. Louis. I'm on a lacrosse scholarship here.
Oh, good for you. So you're what division's that?
We're NCAA Division II.
You have two. Okay, very nice. Playing a little. Yeah. Do you, where, and you, so you came up, like, in the Calgary lacrosse community?
Yeah. I played junior lacrosse. This is my last summer junior this last year. I was playing junior A with the Calgary Raiders.
You're a Raiders guy.
And then, yeah.
Did you do Elevate or no?
No, I did like their summer field program a little bit, but I was playing hockey as well. So
okay.
Never really had the time to do the full Elevate program, but I know all those guys pretty well. But
that's
yeah,
awesome. That's kinda, awesome, man.
Yeah.
I love me some lax.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's super cool.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for the show. It could definitely keeps me connected with the Flames, and good to hear, good to listen to the podcast. I usually listen to the day after because we're an hour ahead here, so I'm, going to bed right after the games. But yeah, thank you so much.
Well, keep listening, Jared. I appreciate the call, man. You be well.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jared, and that'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight following a 4-1 loss on the road in St. Louis. Appreciate all your phone calls, and as always, appreciate all your texts on our Flames Talk post-game show, including tonight on this Thursday. It's time for our final summary, and honestly, all you really needed to see of this game was the first period, and unfortunately, if you were a Flames fan, it wasn't a good first period because the Blues opened up a 3-0 first period lead, starting with Braden Schenn at 4:55 of the first period as he fires home his 9th of the year. Schenn from Dylan Holloway to make it 1-0. Then at 13:53, Colton Parayko scores to make it 2-0, his 10th of the year from Cam Fowler and Robert Thomas. A little bit more than 2 minutes after that, Jordan Kyrou makes it a 3-0 game. Kyrou hits the 20-goal mark from Holloway and Tyler Tucker at 15:40. It was 3-0 St. Louis after 20 minutes of play. Flames were much better in the second and did manage to get on the board. Yegor Sharangovich, pretty finish for his 8th of the year to make it 3-1. Sharangovich from Jacob Pelche and Rory Karens at 11:14 to make it 3-1. But then a power play goal from St. Louis ends up being the dagger late in the second. Schenn, again, his 10th and 2nd of the night from Jake Neighbors and Justin Falk at 17:39. That power play goal made it 4-1. That was your score after 40. No scoring in the third. Blues did a really good job of just making sure that this was a walk of a third period for them. They shut it down, and the final score ends up being 4-1. In favor of the Blues. Final shots, 30-29 in favor of Calgary. Flames go 0-for-1 on the power play tonight. St. Louis 1-for-3 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight. Number 3, Jordan Kyrou. Number 2, Dylan Holloway. And with a couple of goals, the number 1 star tonight was Braden Schenn. Hardest working Flame, as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight, was Rory Karens. With the loss, Flames fall to 21-16-7. They're back in action Saturday on the road in Winnipeg, while St. Louis improves to 22-20-4. They're back in action Saturday on the road in Utah. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, they are into Winnipeg to wrap up this 4-game road trip Saturday night. It is a 5:00 face-off on Hockey Day in Canada, which means we're on the air at 4:00 with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week into the weekend. Final score from St. Louis. Flames fall 4-1 to the Blues. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.